Hiram, Liram, Hiram, 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 Liram. Hiram, Liram, Hiram, Hiram, Hiram. Hiram, Liram, Hiram, Hiram, Hiram. Hiram, Liram, Hiram, Hiram, Hiram. Now I don't know how my mother walked her troubles down, and I don't know how my father stood his ground. I don't know how my people survived slavery, but I do remember, that's why I believe. Head on a little, head, head, head on a little. Head on a little, head, head, head. Head on a little, head, head, head on. Head em a later, head em, head em, hey. No, I don't know why the rivers overflow their banks, and I don't know why the snow falls and covers the ground. I don't know why the hurricane sweeps through the land every now and then, but standing in a rainstorm, I believe. Heaven saying, hey, I'm a later, hey, 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 hey. Hey, I'm a later, hey, hey, hey. Hey, I'm a later, hey, 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 I'm a later. Hey, I'm a later, hey, hey, hey. Now my God calls me in the morning dew. Don't you know that the power of the universe, it knows my name. It knows my name, and it gave me a song to sing and sent me on my way. And I'll be raising my voice for justice, and I believe. I have me sing the song, hey, I'm a later, hey, da, hey, da, hey, I'm a later. Hey, I'm a later, hey, da, hey, da, hey, uh-huh. Hey, I'm a later, hey, da, hey, da, hey, I'm a later. Hey, I'm a later, hey, da, hey, da, hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to, just as opening words, there's a connection between the Dr. Martin Luther King and Langston Hughes. There always has been something very rich there. And so I'd like to just start off with a short poem by Langston Hughes. He was a master at putting a lot into very few words. This one is called Prayer Meeting by Langston Hughes. And he says, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Black old woman sitting in the amen corner of the Ebenezer Baptist Church crooning, glory, the dawns are coming. The dawns are coming. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The dawn is coming. The dawns are coming. So I have learned the few times that I actually had the pleasure of being here that the pews are hard. Pews are hard, that's one thing. Other thing is, I'm sure you want to get up and kind of shake it up a little bit. So based on those two things, I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm going to move those Jim Crow labels, my lordy. I'm going to move those Jim Crow labels one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to move those Jim Crow labels. I'm going to move those Jim Crow labels one of these days. I'm going to walk the streets of glory, my lordy. I'm going to walk the streets of glory one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to walk the streets of glory. I'm going to walk the streets of glory one of these days. Na-na-na. All God's children going to sit together, my lordy. All God's children going to sit together one of these days. Hallelujah. All God's children going to sit together. All God's children gonna sit together one of these days. And you know that I'm gonna tell God how you treated me, my lordy. I'm gonna tell God how you treated me one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm going to tell God how you treat me one of these days. Oh, now I'm going to sit at the welcome table. Oh, I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Whew, okay. Those seats feel a little softer now. When Jen and I were thinking about what we might sort of concentrate on, one of the things was kind of thinking about a timeline, always with Dr. Martin Luther King, his beliefs and his actions right with us. And when I think about a timeline for me, I start thinking about learning. When I learn, I'd be judged by the color of my skin and other external physical aspects rather than the content of my character. And that started very young. I remember, now I was born in Orangeburg, South Carolina, but I moved around a lot, and I was a second grader, I believe, at PS 186 in Harlem. And being told by my young classmates at recess, we were running around, acting out, and being told by my classmates, many of whom were white, were Jewish, actually, I didn't know that then. They were white. And they were great kids, and we had a lot of fun, and they wanted me to have what they had. So they said, you know what? That, if you wash real hard, it'll come off. So I went home, and I got myself a stool, and I stood up to the sink, and I scrubbed my cheek until it was red, and sore. Not fully understanding the look on my grandmother's face when she walked in and saw what I was doing. Happily, she was not a spanker. She didn't swear or anything. She just felt bad. I remember being in junior high school in Washington, D.C. by that time, realizing that light-skinned kids with good hair ran in packs and dated accordingly. Being light-skinned with good hair meant everything. Indeed, a light-skinned boy with a face that looked like 10 miles of bad road would not even consider going out with somebody who looked like, I don't know, Michelle Obama or me. Being a black college student, I remember in the late 60s, meant going home with an afro, of course, and seeing the look on my grandmother's face and hearing her say, "Child, what did you do to your pretty hair?" Cut to 2000 something or other. I remember driving from Marion, where we lived, to a Martin Luther King's Day breakfast celebration in New Bedford, and being cut off by a car full of preppies from Tabor, and had "nigga" shouted at me. I said, "Hi, ironic is that? Martin Luther King Day. I'm going to breakfast, and where I live." So cut to the present. I could talk all day, but a change has got to come.
I was born in 1945, and for the next 20 years of my life, grew up never having known or having met a black person. In 1965, my belief in fairness and the restorative power of activism led me to volunteer in the Boston Office of Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS. During a lunch break, another SDS volunteer and I began walking down the street. He happened to be a black male. A white male approaching us spit directly in my face. While I had no idea of why he had done this, the event marked the beginning of my education regarding the complex issue of race. In 1995, I met Adrian and immediately began experiencing what being part of an interracial couple could mean. My education regarding the complex issue of race continued. For example, with Adrian driving, we were stopped by the police for no legitimate reasons. While shopping, store clerks would follow and over-engage with Adrian, but they would direct all decision-making questions to me. My 3-year-old granddaughter meets Adrian for the first time. She looks up from her stroller and in a crowded mall says, "My daddy says black people steal." In 2005, my middle daughter marries a Kenyan man. They have 2 biracial sons. In 2010, my granddaughter marries a Dominican Haitian man, and they have 2 biracial daughters. In 2014, my elementary school aged grandson, riding on his school bus, hears the word "nigger" for the first time. My great granddaughter refuses to play with her black doll, preferring the white princess dolls with the nice hair. Selma. In March 2015, Adrian and I participated in a three-day conference honoring the 50th anniversary of the Selma Voting Rights Campaign. We then joined other UU congregations crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. But back to 1965. UU Reverend James Reeb, a Roxbury native, called by King to the Selma March, is killed in Selma. At Reeb's funeral, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke these words, which I think you will still find relevant today. Naturally, we are compelled to ask the question, who killed James Reeb? The answer is simple and rather limited when we think of the who. He was murdered by a few sick, demented, and misguided men who have the strange notion that you express dissent through murder. There is another haunting, poignant, desperate question we are forced to ask. It is the question, what killed James Reeb? When we move from the who to the what, the blame is wide and the responsibility grows. He was murdered by the irresponsibility of every politician who has moved down the path of demagoguery, who has fed his constituents the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. He was murdered by the brutality of every sheriff and law enforcement agent who practices lawlessness in the name of law. So in his death, James Reeb says something to each of us, black and white alike, says that we must substitute courage for caution, says to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered him, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy that produced the murder. His death says to us that we must work passionately, unrelentingly, to make the American dream a reality, so he did not die in vain. On the back cover of your order of service, please take a look at the flyer soliciting new members to the KKK. The flyers were found on porches in Selma the morning after the march. Not the 1965 march, the 2015 anniversary march.
Come round by my side, and I will sing you a song. I'll sing it so softly, do no one wrong. On Birmingham Sunday, the blood ran like wine, and the choir kept singing, freedom, 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 freedom. That cold autumn morning, no eye saw the sun. Addie Mae Collins, her number was one. At an old Baptist church, there was no need to run. Choirs kept singing of freedom, 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 freedom. The clouds, they were gray, the autumn winds blew. Denise McNair brought the number to two. Her prayers and her feelings would shame me and you. And the choirs kept singing of freedom, freedom, freedom. Young Carol Robinson entered the door, the number her killers had given was four. She asked for a blessing and asked for no more. The choirs kept singing, freedom. The church was crowded, no one could see that Cynthia Wellesley's dark number was 3. And the choirs kept singing of freedom. On Birmingham Sunday, a noise shook the ground, and people all over the earth turned around. For none could recall a more cowardly sound, and the choirs kept singing of freedom, freedom. The men in the forest, they once asked of me, how many blackberries grow in the blue sea? I asked them right back with a tear in my eye, how many dark ships in the forest? Now the Sunday has come, Sunday has gone. I can't do any more than to sing you a song. I'll sing it so softly, we'll do no one wrong. And the choir kept singing of freedom, 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 hallelujah, freedom, 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 you know I want my freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Little children want freedom, 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 freedom. Would you fight for freedom, 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 freedom? They died for freedom, 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 freedom. Live soft and free, freedom, 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 freedom. Hey, hey, freedom, yeah, freedom, 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 freedom. I remember one thing about standing on the bridge at the 50th anniversary, when we got to the top of it, and I think you may have remembered me going, I'm looking over the bridge and into the water. I said, Janet, do you know what's in that water? There's bones in there. This is a poem by Langston Hughes, and it's called The Bitter River. Again, the connection between Dr. King and Langston Hughes was really rich, that connection. Both Langston Hughes and Martin Luther King were horrified, as are we all, around the practice at that time and further into the future of lynching. This poem talks about two 14-year-olds who were lynched together beneath a bridge in Mississippi, 1942. There is a bitter river flowing through the South. Too long has the taste of its water been in my mouth. There is a bitter river, dark with filth and mud, too long has its evil poison poisoned my blood. I've drunk of the bitter river, and its gall coats the red of my tongue, mixed with the blood of the lynched boys from its iron bridge hung. mixed with the hopes that would drown there in the snake-like hiss of its stream, where I drank of the bitter river that strangled my dream. The book studied, but useless. The tool handled, but unused. Knowledge acquired, but thrown away. Ambition battered and bruised. O water of the bitter river, with your taste of blood and clay, you reflect no stars by night, no sun by day. The bitter river reflects no stars. It gives back only the glint of steel bars and dark, bitter faces behind steel bars. The Scottsboro boys behind steel bars. Lewis Jones behind steel bars. The voteless sharecropper behind steel bars. The labor leader behind steel bars. The soldier thrown from a Jim Crow bus behind steel bars. The 15-cent mugger behind steel bars. The girl who sells her body behind steel bars. And my grandfather's back with its ladder of scars. Long ago, the whip and steel bars. The bitter river reflects no stars. Wait and be patient, you say. Your folks will have a better day. But the swirl of the bitter river takes your words away. Work, education, patience will bring a better day. The swirl of the bitter river carries patience away. Disruptor, agitator, troublemaker, you say. The swirl of the bitter river sweeps your lies away. I didn't ask for this river, nor the taste of its bitter brew. I was given its water as a gift from you. Yours has been the power to force my back to the wall, make me drink of the bitter cup mixed with blood and gall. You have lynched my comrades where the iron bridge crosses the stream, underpaid me for my labor, spit in the face of my dream. You forced me to the bitter river with the hiss of its snake-like song. Now your words are no longer having meaning, for I've drunk from the river too long. Dreamer of dreams to be broken, builder of hopes to be smashed, loser from an empty pocket of my meager cash, bitter bearer of burdens and singer of weary song, I have drunk of the bitter river with its filth and its mud for too long. I'm tired now of the bitter river. I'm tired of a pat on the back. I'm tired now of the steel bars because my face is black. I'm tired of segregation, tired of filth and mud. I have drunk of the bitter river and it's turned to steel in my blood. Oh, tragic, bitter river where the lynched boys hung. The gall of your bitter water coats my tongue. The blood of your bitter water for me gives back no stars. I'm tired of the bitter river. I'm tired of the bars. Those are the words of Langston Hughes. For my closing words, I'd like to sort of circle back to the song we began with and just tell everybody that I don't know how my mother walked her trouble down. I don't know how my father stood his ground. I don't know how my people survived slavery, but I do remember, and that's why I believe. I don't know how a young Martin Luther King Jr. fought this fight, moved others all over the world to put their souls and lives on the lines for the right of all people. I do know that Martin's God called to him when a drum major for justice was sorely needed. I do know that the power of the universe knew his name. And I most certainly know that he was given a mighty voice and sent on his way, and that he raised his voice for justice because he believed. Let the church say amen.